Okay. It's not exactly like splitting the atom or inventing penicillin, but a friend and I may have inadvertently invented a game. I was sending messages over Twitter, the social media network, with Austin Titchener of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. His theater group performs highly condensed and comedic treatments of the Bard, the Bible, and other humorous classics all over the world. Austin noticed we had begun to reduce the name of famous rock groups. The Beatles became the Beats. Then They Might Be Giants became They Are Midgets. Then there was Tom Petty and the Just Friends, the Huh. Austin Titchener of the Reduced Shakespeare Company joins us now from the studios of WUIS in Springfield, Illinois, where the group is on tour. Austin, thanks for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome, Scott. Thank you.
This game has grown, hasn't it?
It's really grown. And it started innocently enough because I had just tweeted that I was leaving on a jet plane, don't know when I'll be back again, which admittedly is a rookie move for a tweeter. I'm a brand new tweeter, and that's
Yeah.
like a comedian making airplane jokes. But you, like a good improviser, yes-anded me and said, oh, reduced Yarrow, which led to, oh, right. That's right, reduced rock bands. Peter and Paul. Peter and Paul. The Kingston Duo.
Right.
Two Dog Nights, San Francisco Gay Man Soloist.
That was my favorite. You
That was
you've
your
got to give the Huey Lewis one you have.
Huey Lewis and the Soundbite.
That's absolutely my favorite. And then we progressed, have progressed to reduced musicals, West Side Anecdote being obvious.
Yes. And yours was classic, but it took me a while to get it. Rhode Island.
Yeah, that's from Oklahoma, yeah.
Yeah, it helps if you sing it. You're doing fine, Rhode
Island.
Island.
And then it's grown to movie titles. Of course, Raging Calf.
Emergency Medtech Zhivago.
Yes. That
Bridge Over an Intersection.
Yes,
Some
that's right,
people,
yeah.
several people were contributing their 2009 Oscar editions, you know, The Odd Phrase of Ben Snapp.
Yeah.
The Browser, Springer Agnew.
That was very clever. I forget who did that one, but yeah.
Well, and it's just interesting how people have taken the idea of reduction. And it's not just, you know, reducing the number. It's sort of getting to the essence of the story and making something important less important. Dude, where's my bike?
You know what I thought was a really brilliant one? A guy, Gary, in Philadelphia, I believe. Think about this. Pride of the Expos.
I loved that. And I'm not even a baseball fan, and I loved that one.
Thank you very much, Austin.
Oh, that was very well, this whole process has been just enormous fun.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 434, NPR After Dark. National Public Radio is one of the great treasures of the American cultural media landscape. No matter where you are in America, you can tune your radio to the left-hand side of the dial and usually find some familiar voices discussing the day's events. And this is still true, even in these days, listening online, which I do sometimes, or listening to podcasts, which I definitely do, and satellite radio, which I don't. And in addition to being a fan of NPR, over the years, the Reduced Shakespeare Company has appeared on many of its signature programs, beginning with All Things Considered with Robert Siegel, then moving around the NPR newsroom to Talk of the Nation, first with Ray Suarez and then Neil Conan, Weekend Edition Saturday with Scott Simon, and Weekend Edition Sunday with Leanne Hansen. But not long after I started producing this podcast, NPR asked the Reduced Shakespeare Company to contribute to their In Character series, a six-month series exploring the great characters of American fiction, folklore, and pop culture. We pitched our idea about us reporting on the huge controversy the In Character series had supposedly generated, and one of the highlights of my career so far has been walking around the halls of both NPR's headquarters in Washington, D.C., and the offices of NPR West in Culver City, California, with a live microphone, interviewing and improvising with some of the most recognizable voices in America. Our news story was a bit of a prank, but the management and talent of NPR were excited to play along. So, in the spirit of April Fool's Day, which falls this week, I'll play you the whole piece as it aired on National Public Radio back on July 13th, 2008. And then after the break, you'll hear some of the outtakes that didn't make it to air. But first, we take you now to Weekend Edition Sunday and host Leanne Hansen.
For the last several months, NPR's In Character series has examined the impact fictional American characters have on our lives. But for the reduced Shakespeare company, the series opened a Pandora's box of competing characters and conflicting egos, all, unfortunately, within the hallowed hallways of NPR itself. For an objective, impartial look into this, we turn to Austin Titchener, Reed Martin, and Michael Faulkner of the reduced Shakespeare company for this report.
Many people feel the producers of In Character rejected a variety of characters while at the same time allowing pieces devoted to similar characters.
That's a fair accusation. Did they really need to cover both Gordon Gekko, Michael Douglas's character from the movie Wall Street, and Cookie Monster?
Michael, I think it was felt that Gordon Gekko and Cookie Monster are unique and distinct characters.
They are. One is a greedy, avaricious creature symbolic of everything that's negative and nasty about American capitalism, and the other one works on Wall Street.
On the other hand, I spoke with NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg, and she actually defended these redundancies.
Why did we need to do both Nancy Drew and Harriet the Spy? Two fictional girl detectives. Really? Really do we need both of those?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I stand corrected. Why?
Look, how many guys have we, spies? I mean, everybody from... James Bond to, I don't know who, these guys are all over the place. Nobody says, oh, gee, we've done too many men spies. We've done too many men detectives. We've done too many men cops. And you are telling me that's too many?
You got it with both barrels.
Yeah. I'd never seen that shade of purple before. That is, until I spoke with Robert Siegel, the host of NPR's All Things Considered. He made an offer NPR was able to refuse.
We should have done Michael Corleone.
Absolutely.
And why?
Because I think he is an American icon.
It occurs to me it must speak to you personally, because I'm sure that you've interviewed people many times where all you've wanted to do is shoot them in the head and they go face first in their clams.
No comment, Robert. This is your editor speaking.
Reporter Allison Keyes was also upset that her favorite character from Star Trek wasn't chosen.
Lieutenant Uhura, baddest woman on the planet. She's a command officer, you know? Plus, it was the first on-screen interracial kiss with Captain Kirk. I remember Star Trek IV when she was, fixing the whale sounds, and you're like, look at that, all those nails, and it's a Klingon ship, and still, she's, bad woman, amazing woman.
What a geek.
She looks hot in that uniform, though.
Lieutenant Uhura?
No, Allison Keyes.
It sounds like there was a breakdown in communications.
There was, Reed. You'd be surprised how many people didn't understand that the series was spotlighting fictional American characters. Film critic Bob Mondello, for instance.
All the characters that I think are the greatest on the planet are British.
Arts correspondent Kim Masters.
Elizabeth Bennet, or, Eleanor Dashwood.
Power, money, and influence correspondent Peter Overby.
Eeyore. I think he expresses something in all of us. I think everybody has an Eeyore side.
The host of NPR's Day to Day, Madeline Brand.
I'll give you a hint. It goes to 11.
Oh, Nigel Tufnell.
Yes. Good.
Nigel Tufnell, of course, from Spinal Tap.
Oh, yeah. One of my all-time favorites.
But why does Nigel speak to you?
I go to 11.
NPR listeners need to know this.
I go to 11. And I have an interest in haberdashery. I really do.
And tight trousers.
Tight trousers. Yes.
Correspondent Ina Jaffe.
Where is Lady Macbeth? Where is Hamlet?
And science correspondent David Kestenbaum.
Hamlet? Yeah, I've been talking about Hamlet. It really deserves a lot more attention. It's just my feelings about the ghosts I see.
Okay.
My mother?
Okay. So this is...
And my desire to dress up in women's clothing.
Okay.
That was more information than I needed.
Definitely.
But mostly people are upset about the characters that the series left out. Again, Kim Masters.
Why Cookie Monster and not Elmo? Because Elmo is good.
Oh, hi! Oh, guess what Elmo's thinking about today?
Science correspondent Richard Harris.
Well, I think Flipper really was a big oversight. I think part of what it is we overdid marine mammals too much in the earlier years. We became known as whale lovers, and I think it really plays to our negative stereotype. I think that's really what happened.
The hallways of NPR are churning with anger and bitterness. News and Notes host Tony Cox told me.
I really would have preferred to do George Jefferson.
Oh.
When he said honky, it just really, you could feel it. You know what I mean?
I couldn't even use what Susan Stamberg gave me. My God, the mouth on that woman.
But they're absolutely right. The list of characters they should have done is endless.
Yes, starting with Rob Petrie from The Dick Van Dyke Show.
or Annie Savoy, Susan Sarandon's character from Bull Durham.
John Shaft, the black private dick who's a sex machine to all the chicks.
You're damn right.
Chauncey Gardner.
Wait.
Reed, what did you say?
Chauncey Gardner from Jerzy Kaczynski's novel Being There. Peter Sellers played him in the movie.
I like to watch.
The problem with the in-character series wasn't that they didn't do enough characters. The problem was they did too many. In true reduced Shakespeare Company tradition, they should have reduced our national experience down to one single fictional American character who represents them all.
But Reed, Chauncey Gardner's just a cipher. There's nothing there.
A contraire, mon petit fromage. With Chauncey Gardner, everything's there. Chauncey Gardner's character is defined by what people think of him. He's the ultimate blank slate.
Yes, a tabula rasa.
Yes, a, slate-o blanco.
Onto which we can project our hopes, our dreams. Because we know nothing about him, Chauncey becomes anything we want him to be.
And our reactions to Chauncey Gardner, like our reactions to the entire in-character series, reveal much about ourselves.
And in the case of David Kestenbaum, too much.
I'm Michael Faulkner.
I'm Reed Martin.
I like to watch.
And we are the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
You can weigh in with your own opinions about our in-character series, the characters we've profiled, and the ones that got away, on the In-Character blog. It's at npr.org/in-character, all one word.
Hi, it's Susan Stamberg at National Public Radio. Guess what you're listening to? The ridiculous, no, it's a Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Our 82-city UK and Ireland tour of the complete history of comedy abridged continues this week with performances in Grantham, Harrogate, Solihull, Ludlow, and Exeter, then continues around the countries to Galway, Newton Abbey, Downpatrick, Derry, Londonderry, Westacre, and Norfolk, Wakefield, Barnstaple, Blackwood, Chipping Norton, Pershore, Hounslow, Basingstoke, Guildford, Tenterden, Banbury, Derby, Bolton, Wolverhampton, Worcester, Dumfries, Stranraer, Oxford, and Wellingborough. Also next week in the US, we'll be playing Manchester, New Hampshire, the McCarthy Theater in Princeton, New Jersey, and Frederick, Maryland. Plus, there'll be more U.S. dates this summer and fall, which will be added to our website as soon as we get them sorted out. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. Now, there were literally minutes of outtakes they couldn't use on NPR's air, starting with this conversation with All Things Considered host Robert Siegel, who first brought us onto NPR and included our interview in his published collection of favorite conversations. This is one of ours.
I know NPR likes to cover the news, not be the news, but the news today is that the hallways are abuzz with the screaming and ranting of NPR employees about this in-character series and the characters that they should have covered and didn't. And I know you feel strongly about a certain...
I do. I think that we should have done Michael Corleone.
Absolutely.
And why? Because I think he is an American icon, I believe, because he got 3 movies out of it.
True.
He got the director's daughter work in the last one. So I think for those reasons alone, he should be profiled by us.
Well, and there's something, he speaks to something innately American about, you know, wanting to stay out of it, but always being dragged back in.
Yes, the tension between family, between assimilation and ambition and being tied into tradition. Yeah, no, I think it's a classic American story, Austin, and I think it can be done in 90 seconds if you do it right.
If we do it right. It occurs to me it must speak to you personally, because I'm sure that you've interviewed people many times where all you've wanted to do is shoot them in the head and they go face first in their clams.
No comment, Robert. This is your other speaking.
I have tremendous respect to the people we interview.
Did you see Robert Siegel's nose grow about a foot long? That was so weird.
Upon the star, your dreams come true.
I also got to speak with NPR senior legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg, who tore into me exactly the way I hoped she would.
Austin Titchener from the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. What we're doing is the
the in-character series is just causing such a brouhaha within the NPR hallways. Everybody seems to be very upset about the characters the series did not cover.
But I've already done this for Elizabeth. I mean, my person that I would have done is Nancy Drew, and I've already done her.
You've already done her. All right, well, explain to me this. Why did we need to do both Nancy Drew and Harriet the Spy? Two fictional girl detectives. Really? Really do we need both of those?
How many guys have we, you know, spies? I mean, everybody from, James Bond to, I don't know who. These guys are all over the place. Nobody says, oh, gee, we've done too many men spies. We've done too many men detectives. We've done too many men cops. And you are telling me that's too many?
You make a fair point.
Okay.
I thought the series could have been broader in terms of the fictional characters. For instance, you know, you cover the Supreme Court, Clarence Thomas.
That, fictional character?
That guy, we don't know anything about that guy. He's fictional. He's got to be. He never says anything. He never asks a question. You've been there, you know.
I know. He doesn't say anything. He hasn't said anything on the bench in 2 years, I think. And he sits there rocking in his chair often with his eyes closed. But he's not asleep. He's listening. I promise you he's listening.
I'm going to have to take your word for that.
You are going to have to take my word for it. I'm your eyes and ears in the Supreme Court.
It's true.
I'm the dean or the deanette or whatever you want to call it of the Supreme Court Press Corps, which all that means is I've managed to do this beat longer than anybody else there.
The Helen Thomas of the Supreme Court.
Something like that,
In
yes.
40 years, you're going to be the Helen Thomas of the Supreme Court.
God, in 40 years, I'm going to be so old. So old.
And finally, I spoke with Scott Simon, who I've interviewed on the podcast before and whose new book, Unforgettable, A Son, A Mother, and the Lessons of a Lifetime, has just been published. Scott proved that in addition to being a great interviewer, he's also a great interviewee.
Scott, the hallways are buzzing here at NPR because everybody's upset about the in-character series. Who do you think that they should have covered?
I had quite a few suggestions. I thought sound and inventive suggestions, which I must say routinely were just smashed to the ground.
Rejected.
Yeah, absolutely. Rejected for, I think, the most nebulous and nefarious of reasons. I wanted to do a George Smiley.
Yes.
Master Spy in John le Carré's series. And I was told by the editorial authorities here, no, these are about American characters, and say what you will of George Smiley, he might be a great character, but he's English, which I thought was...
limiting.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, and American characters can learn so much from the English. That seems
well,
to me.
Language, huh? Mm-hmm. Beginning with language, right?
Stoicism, stiff upper lips.
Stoicism. I think the whole concept of canned foods was probably an invention of English culture, which was transported here.
Boiling and deep frying vegetables, these are all valuable things.
That absolutely would have been an important part of the George Smiley piece I did, but what can I say? It was treated, you know, dismissed as an errant little child, as I so frequently am around here. And then I wanted to do Barbie. I really wanted to do Barbie. Because, I'm a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might choose to disagree, but I'm a boy. Certainly roundly considered that by my wife and children. And I wanted to do Barbie. Now, we've all grown up knowing Barbie, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought a male perspective would be good.
Absolutely.
For Barbie.
Well, and that seems to be the sort of gender stereotyping that I would not expect from NPR.
Exactly.
Yeah.
NPR, of all people, has an investment in railing against gender stereotypes. I think they were concerned... I think boys, maybe more than girls, notice Barbie's build is perhaps the product of a male designer more than a female designer, would be my guess.
And apparently physiologically impossible.
Couldn't walk under those circumstances.
But never say
right?
die.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I think talented aerodynamic engineers have probably been working on Barbie for years, and I thought this was a point that needed to be made. Alas, it was felt here that this was definitely a point that should never hit our air. So I'm grateful for this opportunity to try and sneak it in through the back door. Then the other idea I had was for Thing, the hand that came out of the box in the Addams Family.
The most interesting character from that show.
I thought so. In I really do think, in terms of character development, this is something where this was made for this series, because Thing was not just important as an individual character to himself. You remember he had sort of a deep voice, although it came up from the bottom of the box.
Right.
But it was people responding to Thing was a kind of litmus test to their character, which is, I think, one of the tests of great character, right? How people respond.
Absolutely.
I thought Thing had all the ingredients of a great character, and then, alas, it was pointed out to me that he was just a hand. He wasn't even two hands, didn't have arms, didn't have legs, in fact, didn't have a head, didn't have a visible mouth. How could you refer to him as a character when, in fact, he was a thing?
That is typical NPR elitism, as far as I'm concerned.
I thought so, too. And on top of everything else, it is preventing millions, well, let's double it, so it would be hundreds of millions of hands in this country from identifying with a hand that arguably is one of the most famous hands since the hands that rocked the cradle or something like that.
Well, and in terms of how Americans, you know, learn valuable lessons, Thing had the ability to live and think and act outside the box. Both inside and outside the box.
My gosh. You see the kind of points that we could make? There it was inside the box, relegated to inside the box, and yet striving, churning, reaching ever upward. Sounds very, lascivious. Thing was able to...
There was no limit to Thing's reach.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Scott, thank you for sharing some of your pain.
My pleasure. Pleasure and pain, they're all mixed together, aren't they?
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. This would make a great show. NPR After Dark, me hosting a cocktail party in the NPR studios, serving drinks and chatting with on-air personalities as they let their hair down and say things they shouldn't. Call me, NPR. I'm available. Meanwhile, send us your pitches for radio programming via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans on our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, voice of the nation Matthew Croke, music by John Weber and Garage Band, and the late Don Vagley, who wrote the theme music for NPR's All Things Considered. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Harley Riley. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Susan Stamberg, one of the founders of National Public Radio, the first woman to be a full-time anchor of a nightly national newscast in 1972, and a member of the Broadcasting Hall of Fame. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 434 1300 seconds of the Reduced to Shakespeare Company.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.